Okay, good morning. Today's shir is a schus for Rafu Shlema for Binyamin Chaim ben Fegi Sara. Shava Rafu Shlema, Shercha Yisrael. It was requested from our listeners on turningtime.com if they also wanted to be able to sponsor the shir. So anyone who wants to sponsor the shir should please contact Mrs. Goldschmidt, 973-773-3444. Okay, so the past couple weeks, we were reviewing the halachas of Borer. I'd like to finish Borer today, and this way, Bez Hashem, we'll be able to continue the next time we have Shir. So last week, we started discussing the ways out of Borer to avoid Borer, and so far, we only said one halacha as far as avoiding Borer, and that was to take some of the good along with the bad, and we gave some examples of that with the fat on the meat, and we said that the logic is that that's not considered borer, that's not considered selecting or sorting, that's just dividing the mixture, and therefore you're allowed to do it even for later, and even with a kli, which we're going to discuss today, if you take some of the good along with the bad. The next option is to mix the mixture, not to spread it, but to mix it. I mean, we gave a number of examples. Let's say you have a tomato on the bottom of a salad, and let's say you have some meat on the bottom of chont, and you know it's there somewhere, just you can't find it. So you want that tomato, you want that meat. So that's the good from the bad, that's not a problem. But you don't know where it is, you can't find it. So we said last week that it was a big discussion, am I allowed to remove the bad just to access the good? And what we came out was that we said that that's not allowed. You're not allowed to remove the bad just to access the good, unless it was a case of not a mixture, but a case of tightly stacked. Like we had a stack of plates, or a stack of coats, or a stack of shirts and hanging in the closet. In that situation, we said, if it's for immediate use and you're doing it with your hands, then we said you're allowed to just remove the bad just to access the good. By a mixture, we came out that that should not be done. So over here, you can't remove the potatoes to get to the meat. You can't remove the other things that you don't want just to get to the good on the bottom. But what you can do is just mix the mixture, and hopefully eventually what you want will end up on top. Then once it's on top, you'll just be able to take the good from the bad, and then of course you're using it for immediate use, and you're doing it with your hands. You have a pile of silverware, a pile of pictures, and what you want is somewhere on the bottom, and you can't, so we say if it's a mixture, you can't move over the bad, you can't remove the bad. To move over the bed, that, unfortunately, I did a lot of research, I didn't see anyone specifically say anything about that, as far as just moving the potatoes and the beans off to the side, not removing them, but just like pushing them to the side. It's not really improving the mixture. Quite possible that that would still be permitted. That could be that's all included in mixing it. Quite possible that that would be permitted. But as far as to remove it totally, that would not be allowed. One option is to just mix it.
So what do you mean by the coats then?
The coats is not a mixture. We say the coats is a case of tightly stacked. A tightly stacked, we said, is more lenient than a mixture, a bulbul of toys or other pieces or food or salad or nuts or something like that. That's a mixture. A mixture, we said that you can't remove the bad just to access the good. But tightly stacked, yeah, you could go coat by coat if it's for immediate use. If it's for a coat, obviously you're putting it on now, you're doing it with your hands. So you're allowed to do that for immediate use. But for later, that we said you're not allowed to do. If you have a stack of shirts in the closet and you want to remove them just to get to the good one and you're preparing the clothes for tomorrow morning, that would not be allowed. Another halacha, another option of the way out of borer is something that we discussed 2 weeks ago after the shir, so not everyone was here for that. So I just want to explain the basis. Usually I don't explain all the background. I do all the research myself and then I just try to come with the practical halacha. But here I want to explain the background for the following halacha. There's something that a lot of people know of, and that is that if you have a mixture, what you're able to do is to spread out the mixture. Spread out the mixture, then it's no longer a mixture. It's all spread out across the floor or across the table. Then I'm allowed to go ahead and take what I want. I could take even for later, I could take for the earlier, for the bad, for the good. Is that allowed or not? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that a certain Amora had a mixture of fruit, all different types of fruits, and he came to his students, he came to his Talmidim, and they wanted to take some of it, for later perhaps, and he spread them out in front of all his Talmidim, in front of all his students, and then his students were able to take what they wanted. So he spread them out, it was a mixture, and he went and purposely spread them out. So Rav Moshe Feinstein sees from this Gemara that if you have a mixture, what you're allowed to do is just simply go ahead and spread it out. Now it's no longer a mixture, and then you could do whatever you want. You could take out the bad from the good, you could take it for later, whatever, because it's not a mixture anymore. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says no, not so fast. He says, if you look at this Gemara, all that it says is that he did this for somebody else. He did this for other people. So for other people, then you're allowed to spread the mixture, and then other people could go ahead and take because they're not taking from the mixture. But for yourself, that of Shlomo Zalman Aruch says, we don't see, we don't know. Perhaps it's permitted, perhaps it's not permitted, because this Gemara was not doing, he wasn't doing it for himself. Could be that's like a joke, that you just spread it, and then you go ahead and take it for yourself. Perhaps that would not be permitted. For other people, we see it's permitted, but maybe not for himself. That's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's opinion. Rabbi Yashiv has a third opinion. Rabbi Yashiv says that the only reason why that Gemara was permitted is because he did it for immediate use. He spread it out, and then immediately his students took the fruits. So for immediate use, he says that's permitted. But for la'achar zman, but if it's for later, then we say, Rabbi Yashiv says that is asur midaraisa. He says that is forbidden min ha'Torah. Doesn't make a difference for yourself. For other people, according to Rabbi Yashiv, there he doesn't differentiate, like Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't differentiate, but he says it's only for immediate use. It's not a free-for-all, like Rav Moshe says, but it's only for immediate use. So now, you have these three opinions, so which one do you do? So the most practical case that we have by spreading the mixture is your example of cleaning the toys and silverware. You have a bunch of silverware, let's say you dry the silverware, we learned those halachas about which silverware you're allowed to wash and which you're not allowed to wash on Shabbos. So let's say you have the dry silverware, and you want to sort them back in the drawer. So that's for la'achar zman. Or you want to clean up the toys, and there's a mixture of toys all over the floor. So what do? You spread out the toys across the floor. You have the mixture of the chess pieces, the black and the white. So you spread out the pieces, the red and the blue Stratego pieces. You spread out the pieces. Oh, now it's spread out. I could go clean them up and put them away for later. So is that permitted or not? So according to Moshe Feinstein, that's permitted. According to Rabbi Yashiv, that's also midaraisa. According to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Aruch, he says he's not sure. You're doing it for yourself. So he says that we don't know. So many, many times I come to you and I tell you what you should do, and I filter out, not in Shabbos, because I'm not filtering in Shabbos, but you filter out what's permitted, what's not permitted. You know, you have a das yachid, a minority opinion, so I don't even mention it many times. Over here, you have a very strong machlokas in such a situation, and you're all mature, and you're going to decide on yourselves which ones you should go ahead and do. If you want to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's in America, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was the pesach in America, you want to do it, you don't have to hesitate whatsoever. I know Rabbi Sachs will talk about it.
Could you repeat why Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said it was permitted?
Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says it's permitted very simply. He says you have a mixture, you go ahead and spread it out. Uh-huh. It's not a mixture anymore. So it's not a mixture, we said. Those are the two conditions we said 2 weeks ago. Has to be a mixture of two types. So no, you're a tricky person, but you made it that it's not a mixture anymore. You made it not a mixture anymore. You can do it for yourself, for somebody else, for later, for now, with your hands, with a kli. It doesn't make a difference. It's not a mixture anymore. That's where Moshe Feinstein learns from this Gemara. I was once talking to a principal of a girl's school, and he told me that he taught this to his students, that they spread out the silverware on the countertop, and then they could put it away for later. He went to Moshe Feinstein's opinion, 100%, totally okay. And he got a phone call from a mother of one of the students, that her daughter over Shabbos, she took the silverware, she threw it across the kitchen floor, all the clean silverware, and what are you teaching my daughters? And he said, I didn't tell him to throw it on the floor. I said, you could spread it across the table, you could spread it across the countertop. So, and obviously, use your brains. If you want to be able, you want to rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein, because into hate, I'm not going to tell you you can't, but that is the basic halacha as far as going ahead and purposely spreading the mixture. In general, as far as silverware, these cases of silverware are very avoidable. If you have clean silverware on the table that hasn't been used, you want to put it back in the drawer. So that's sorting for later. When you clear the table, don't clear all the forks and spoons and knives all in one hand, and then you're going to be forced to run into problems of spreading it, of dividing it in your counter in the drawer. You're going to have to spread it. You're relying on Moshe. Maybe just take the spoons and put them in. Then just take the forks and put them in. Just take the knives and put them in. All the halachas of washing dishes and drying dishes. There are ways to avoid making a mixture in the first place. One other halacha, I think we were discussing this also after the shir, is the following. Let's say you have a mixture of silverware, and let's say you dried all the silverware, you washed all the silverware, and now it's in the bin, right? And you want to dry them one by one. So I have a great idea. I want to put them back in my drawer for la'achar zman, but now it's a mixture. Let's say I'm not going to spread the mixture. So let's say I pick up one spoon, and I want to dry it. I'm picking it up to dry. Now, once I'm holding the spoon, I could put it in the drawer. I pick up one knife and I dry it. I want to dry it, so I'm taking the good from the bad because I want to dry it for now. And then I'll go put it in the drawer. So it's really like a two-step process, and the first step that I'm doing is not sorting, I'm just picking up one, so I could dry it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's permitted, because I'm picking one up to dry. Now I'm holding only one fork in my hand. Of course, that's not a mixture. I'm holding one fork in my hand. I could put it away in the drawer. Then I pick up one knife. I don't have a mixture anymore. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that's permitted. Rabbi Yashiv says that's not permitted. What's the meaning of the olam? What's the meaning of the world? I'm not 100% sure. Most people just dump it in the dishwasher. So that is also a big machlokas. Rabbi Yashiv and Amdis and Karel, let's say that's not allowed because it is a mixture in front of you. We're talking about if it is a mixture in the tray over there. If it is a mixture, then you pick up one by one to dry and then you put it in. So that is also a machlokas. Like I've said many times, I'm not here to decide between the great paiskim. This seems like a straight-up machlokas. It's not like we have so many opinions to one way and only a minority opinion on one side. That is something that, if you'd like, you could rely on it. No one could stop you. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's permitted. If you have guests or it's something that you really feel like you need to rely on it, 100%, you can rely on it. All things being equal, try to avoid it.
So if you dry, let's say if you jumble the silverware on the drain board or something.
Okay, draining board, that's the word. Okay, thank you.
You need them right away because you're setting the table.
Okay.
So if you can, you dry them one at a time and make a stack of spoons, a stack of knives, and stack of forks, and then take them.
So if they're in a jumble, you are allowed to set the table for immediate use.
For immediate use.
So we have to discuss now what's considered immediate use. Sorry? You don't even have to dry them one at a time. Even if they're dry already and they're in a jumble and you're just sorting them out around the table, if it's for immediate use, that's permitted.
But let's say with your hands. You're doing it in the kitchen and then you have to go to the table.
So now we need to discuss what's considered immediate use. What's considered immediate use? I'm putting it on my counter and then a few minutes later I put it on the table. We'll see now what's considered immediate use.
That's all part of what's considered immediate use.
We have to discuss. I'm sorry?
You don't care what comes out of the pile. You just pick it up with your hands and put it away.
So if it's to put it away, it's not allowed. If it's to put it away for later, that's not allowed. It's a mixture of two different types, because forks and spoons and knives, we said, are two different types. If that is considered a mixture and you're taking it out, if you specifically divide them up...
Even if you take a bunch in your hands, you're having a mixture of everything.
That is not allowed. That is not allowed if it is for later.
Isn't immediate use considered, I want my counters to be cleared?
So we were discussing that as far as... For immediate use, that doesn't count. As far as we were discussing the halachos of hachana and what bothers me, which dishes I'm allowed to wash. I'm only allowed to wash dishes that I need for this Shabbos. Let's say I really don't need it for Shabbos, but it just bothers me to be dirty on the counter. So I want to wash and I can't put them away somewhere. So I have to wash and put them away. For hachana, we say that that's considered enough of a Shabbos use. But that's not considered an immediate use in regards to borer. First of all, borer is more strict than hachana. Hachana is anissa derabanan, and borer is anissa mideraisa. And also, that's considered at least a Shabbos use, but that's not considered an immediate use. Even though, yes, I get pleasure right now for immediately that it's clean, but the place can say that is not considered enough of an immediate use as far as sorting. You don't need to sort it to make yourself happy. You could just dump them in the drawer and close them. That's not considered an immediate pleasure of the sorting itself. So that we say is not allowed. As far as your question that you asked last week, I spoke to a number of people about it. Her question last week was a very good question, which no one spoke about, which bothered me the most. Shmuel Shabbos Kolchasa and all the other Svarim, the Mishnah Brura, and all these Svarim they didn't talk about, at least that I saw. And her question was the following, that we said that if you have a mixture of cookies by a Kiddush, and let's say it's a mixture, they're close enough to each other that you look at it and it looks like a mixture. And you want to take, of course, you're taking the good from the bad, the one that you want, but you're taking it for later, for la'achar zman. You're not going to let your kids eat it until later in the afternoon. So he said that's not permitted, even though you're taking the good from the bad and you're taking it with your hands, but it's not for immediate use, so that would not be allowed. Her question was, let's say you have chocolate chip cookies and oatmeal cookies, which we said is considered two different types, but you have absolutely no preference between the chocolate chip cookie and the oatmeal cookie. You couldn't care less. You like both of them. Your son, your child, he likes both of them. You happen to take one of them. You're only taking one. You happen to take one. So you're taking the chocolate chip cookie from the oatmeal cookie, but you could have taken the oatmeal cookie just as much from the chocolate chip cookie, and you're taking it for later use. Is that considered ochel and ochel, or is that considered ochel and psolas? Meaning, if I don't want the oatmeal cookie and I specifically took the chocolate chip cookie, so that for sure is not allowed because I'm taking the good from the bad, but it's for later use. How about over here that I really totally could have taken either one?
Just take both,
okay. Well, let's say you don't want your kids to have both. You want only to have one, okay? That's true. And if your kid is smart, so he'll tell you, just give me both. But is that allowed or not? So I spoke to a few Talmidei Chachamim. They assumed that such a thing would be permitted. Then finally, I got a chance yesterday to speak to Rabbi Sachs. He wasn't so sure that it was permitted. He says he has to look into it to see if it's explicit anywhere. I could have listed him a bunch of places that it's not explicit because I did the research myself before I started asking people. still needs further clarification. Okay, but now they have to get to, and I have an answer for you as far as the bugs taking from the lettuce.
If you would really then take both, like if you would make a point of taking both.
One of each?
Yeah, then that'll be okay. Then that'll be okay, for sure. And there's plenty of cookies that are not in a mixture. There are things that, you know, it's not in a mixture. If you want to be safe, you could just take a cookie that's not from a plate of a mixture. There's only one type. So either it's not a mixture or it's not two types. That's definitely an option. But we said the rules are borrowed. You have to have all three conditions. You have to take for the good, from the bad, has to be for immediate use, and has to be with your hands. So we'll give you an example. If you're doing it for later in the afternoon, that is not for immediate use. You have to have all three conditions. If it's a borrowed situation of a mixture of two types, then you have to have all three. You have to have all three conditions. Right, but I'm talking about when you're taking it home for later. You're not going to be eating it now.
Right, you bring home for your kids. Right, so that you give them for dessert.
Right, so that's that we need to know that you can't do borrow in such a situation. Okay, let's discuss miyad and biyad. The last two things we need to discuss are what's considered immediate use and what is considered with your hands. Which one should we do first? We'll do with your hands first. We'll do that halacha first. What is considered with your hands? So you keep on saying that you're only allowed to do borer with your hands. Now, when we say you're only allowed to do borer with your hands, besides the good from the bad, it has to be only with your hands. So the halacha is that it doesn't mamish have to be only with your hands. You are allowed to use a utensil if it is only for convenience reasons. If it's only for convenience purposes, then it's not to enhance the efficiency of the selection, the efficiency of the borer. It's just for convenience that I'm using a kli, I'm using a utensil. Then we say that is considered with your hands, and that is permitted. What is considered convenience that it is still permitted? So one example of a convenience is if you don't want to get your hands dirty. Let's say you're eating fish with bones, or chicken with bones. So he said, let's say you're going to make sure to take the good from the bad. You're going to take only the chicken from the bones and the fish from the bones. And of course, you're doing it for immediate use. You're eating the food right now, but you can't do it with a kli. So halacha is you're allowed to do it with a fork and knife, because really you could take the chicken from the bones with your hands. It's just to get your hands dirty, gets the chicken dirty. It's not polite because it gets dirty. So you're just doing it for convenience purposes. That is allowed to be done with a fork and knife. Another example, let's say it's on the bottom of a pot, and okay, first of all, you're not going to want to stick your hands all the way to the bottom of the pot, but because it's dirty, and also because, let's say, you can't reach it, or let's say because the soup is very hot and you have a small carrot on the bottom. We discussed 2 weeks ago what's considered a mixture. A big piece of zucchini, a big piece of potato, a big chicken perhaps is not considered a mixture in a bowl of soup, in a pot of soup, but let's say there's something small on the bottom of the pot. You can't reach it, or it's too hot. So over there also, you just can't reach it. That's also considered convenience purposes, and you're allowed to take it with a fork. Let's say the following. You're using a kli, and that makes the borer selection more efficient. That is not permitted. So let's say I have a pot of soup. So I pick up the pot with one hand, and I want to pour out the soup. So I'm pouring out the soup that I do want. I want the soup, so that's the good from the bad. But I don't want any of the noodles and the carrots and the chicken, right? Like you saw, like we discussed. So you take the lid of the pot and you form a slight opening to have the juice, the soup, come out. And that's the soup that you do want. It's the good from the bad. That is still not allowed because that is considered a kli. You're using the pot, the cover of the pot, even though it's not a specialized borer utensil, but doesn't make a difference. You're using a kli that makes the borer more efficient. Let's say you take a ladle and you scoop out the soup, and you have the soup, and now you only want the carrot. You don't want the soup. The bowl already has enough soup. So you take the ladle. We all do this all the time, especially during the week, and now we won't do it on Shabbos anymore. You take the ladle, and you lean it against the side of the pot. This way all the soup drips down. Okay, so anyways, you're doing the bad from the good. So anyways, that would not be allowed. But that is also considered a kli, and that you're using the ladle is making the borer more efficient. We spoke about tuna cans when we spoke about the halachos of schita ba'ochlam. We spoke about the grapes and the olives and the grapefruits as well, what you're allowed to squeeze out on Shabbos. So let's say we said, midrabanan, you have a tuna can. And we discussed in a different shir how to open cans on Shabbos. And let's say you open up the tuna can in a permitted way on Shabbos, and you want to get out the oil from the tuna can. So we said that you're not allowed to take the cover of the tuna can and squeeze out, let the oil drip out, meaning even besides the fact that the oil is coming out and oil is what you don't want, but let's say it's you're doing it in a way where you're taking you're not having it squeezed out the bad from the good, you can't take the cover of the tuna can. That is also considered with a kli, and that is not allowed on Shabbos. A pitcher If you have a pitcher and you just want to, or let's say any can that you totally open and you just pour out the liquid, and let's say the liquid is what you do want, so that's a good from the bad for your corn salad recipe. So that is allowed just to have it spill out the top of the can. That is permitted because you're not using a kli to make the borer more efficient. You can't use a cover to form a narrow opening, but just to pour it out gently without anything coming out, that is permitted. Hold on 1 second. Let's just finish this section. Any specialized utensil for borer is not allowed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to use a sifter, a sieve, a perforated spoon. Those are all not allowed because those are a kli. Those are utensils that are specialized for borer. How about a peeler? Are you allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos? So most Paiskim say you are not allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos. What do we call it? We call it a peeler. That's a specialized utensil for borer. Now, even though we said by peeling, we said last week you're taking the bad from the good, that's not a problem because we said that's the derech achila. Over here, that's the normal way. So peeling on Shabbos is allowed if you use a knife. Use a peeler. You should preferably not use a peeler on Shabbos. They say over in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein that you are allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos. So if somebody tells you, I use a peeler because Rav Moshe Feinstein says you're allowed to, you can't stop them. Supposedly he did say that, or his wife said that he said it. If the Rebbetzin said that he said it, perhaps you could definitely, again, you could definitely rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein if you believe such a shmua. You look up in Igros Moshe what he says. It doesn't sound like he would let a peeler, but supposedly that's the way he holds, that a peeler is just like a knife. Most places can say not like that. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says not like that, and others. Preferably, you should not use a peeler on Shabbos. As far as the tea bag, there's questions of Bishul in regards to tea leaves on Shabbos. Bez Hashem, we'll have the schuss to do the halachas of Bishul at one point, and we'll learn those, what's considered kali habishul, what's not. But as far as borer is concerned, many paiskim say, Rabbi Yashav included, that a tea bag is considered a specialized utensil for borer. It's supposed to filter out the water and the tea leaves. That even if you say that, oh, it's the good from the bad, because the water is what's coming out and the water is what I want, so that's the good from the bad, but that is considered a specialized kli for borer. It has obviously tiny, tiny holes that the water is able to seep in and out through of, so that should not be allowed. Preferably, there's a number of reasons why you should not be using tea bags on Shabbos. You make the tea scents before Shabbos.
Well, can I ask you a question on the scents? But if you have, you made some teas for somebody, but people like leave the tea bags in the scents.
Right.
So like, but then when you pour the scents,
so that already it's all filtered through, and that's that, I don't think that's not, nothing's being filtered
so
at that point anymore.
So it doesn't make a difference that like the, right. But like the liquid goes.
And
out
she's asking, but the mindset does go again through the tea bag. I don't think that's a problem because you're not really filtering anything. You're not improving anything. It was all the tea scents was all full of whatever tea leaves you needed. That is not a problem.
What about using a slotted spoon for something solid?
So if a slotted spoon is something solid, I would imagine, so the borer is not an issue. The borer is not an issue because nothing is seeping through. The question is, if a slotted perforated spoon is muksa on Shabbos, because it's a kli that is a muksa kli, because it's usually used for something forbidden on Shabbos, usually it is for a borer. So the same type of thing of the scissors and a hammer, it has a permitted use, you could use it for something solid, but it's a kli that is usually used for muksa. So we spoke about when we did the halachas of muksa, that something that is muksa, it's muksa, you're not allowed to move it, but you're allowed to use the tzarech gufo lemakomo. So if you have a permitted use, if you have no other spoon that is able to be used for this solid food, and then if you have no other option to use another type of spoon, you are allowed to use such a spoon. Once you finish it, you put it away. Rav Moshe Feinstein said you don't have to go to a neighbor to borrow a different type of spoon. If you have no other spoon to use, then you are allowed to use such a spoon. I would imagine a perforated spoon would be muksa on Shabbos. I would imagine.
For non liquid things. I don't use that spoon.
Once you say that it's a kli, right, that's miyuchad.
I only use that
for
non-liquid things.
For the non-liquid things. Like
that's what I use.
Perforated spoon for non-liquid?
For salad.
Why?
I know that I could never ever use it for something liquidy. So for me, that spoon is a salad spoon. It's never ever used.
If you set aside this kli that you're only going to use it,
that's the only time it's used.
Okay, we learned the halachas of your miyachad, the rock for a toy, a sand for a sandbox.
I never use it during the week. Are you on Shabbos?
I don't know if that helps or not. I'm not sure.
It's part of the set, so it has its own. Right. There are the big serving spoons, and it's part of the set. So for me, it always goes to the salt. It never goes to the liquid.
Why does it never go to the liquids? Because of borer issues?
Yeah, because I know. So it's never ever used for anything other than salads, even during the week. Like,
could be. I have to think about it. Could be. I have to think about it. I don't like. I don't want to answer off the cuff. But regalachas. But I would have to think about it.
You never had enough serving spoons.
Let's just continue, okay?
You're just kidding.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, this time I'm going to need lemonade for my kids. Okay. With like that pitcher, and you know it has the big square and the slotted square.
Oh, so very good. So that's one last halacha I wanted to say. The place can say the following.
So the ice, and this even.
Right.
She has lemon.
So the place can say that that is not, you have to take it. The place can say the following. Two things. That is permitted to be used on Shabbos for two reasons. First of all, because that, anything, even with those slotted, with those, that is allowed. The place can say that's allowed. Who's one that says that's allowed? I think Rabbi Yashiv says that's allowed, and others. The reason why that's allowed is because you totally could have used, you could have stopped that with your hands. Just it's not polite, and it's too cold, and also you don't want to get the ice dirty. You're not making the borer more efficient by using that slotted cover. You could have used it with your hands. So that gets involved in the gather of convenience. That you'll be allowed to use such a cover on Shabbos because that's included in just convenience. That's not that you made the borer more efficient. That's reason number one why it's permitted. Reason number two why such a thing is permitted is because what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that many places can say that ice in a liquid is not a mixture. And we said that since it's ice is big and it's in a liquid, it's not considered a mixture in the first place. You would even be allowed to simply go take it out with your hands, the bad from the good, if you want. That will be allowed because that's not considered
so that's
a mixture.
That's not ice. That's a lemon slice. Is in the
so
water.
Lemon, we discussed also lemons. Lemon in a tea. We didn't discuss lemon in water, but obviously it's the same thing and it depends on the size. Something like that, I would imagine, is not considered a mixture. And
so
then you don't have to worry about
that pitcher holds it
so
back.
So that pitcher, for two reasons, is not a problem. Because I could have held it back with my hands and it's just convenience that I'm using the tip. And number two is because... quite possibly that's not considered a mixture in the first place. Okay, let's move on.
But why is that different than using a lid cover?
I'm saying you don't even have to use your hands.
But why is that different than the soup?
Yeah, why is that different than the soup? I could use my hand to hold it back.
That,
Well, it's normally hot. You wouldn't. You
can't. No, but hot is also considered convenient.
But hot's considered convenient.
But that...
soup and slat out the thing because it's more convenient.
That I'm not sure. That I have to think about. That why the place can differentiate between that if they use the cover... I don't know.
Well, if the carrot
is
that big.
Well, there are a lot of things I can use my hand to hold back.
Right. It's hard to get the exact gather. Another example, I hear your question. Another example that I saw some sperm say is not allowed, some sperm did not talk about it, is when you have a salad. I think we spoke about this the first time we did Borer. You have a salad, and you pick up the salad with two spoons, and all the mayonnaise drips to the bottom, all the dressing drips to the bottom. So are you allowed to hold that on top of the salad and have the liquid drip, drip, drip? So that just comes out naturally. Is that considered a kli that that's permitted or not? So I could have done that with my hands. It seems in the Paiskim that, you know, some sperm that said that that's not allowed, that it couldn't have been just as good with your hands. You know, for something like the soup, I don't know, it needs an exact gather. I hear, I'm not 100% sure. The Paiskim definitely say that that's permitted, and the Paiskim definitely say that that's not allowed. I need to clarify more why that's the case, okay? Let's move to the last section, which is the halachos of immediate use. What's considered immediate use? We said quickly that when we say immediate use, it doesn't have to mamash be exactly for immediate use, but rather what the Mishnah Berurah and many other places can say is the following. And that is that, let's say, for example, you're preparing for a meal. And let's say the meal takes a half hour to prepare. You have a lot of activities that need to be done for the meal. You have to set the table, put the tablecloth, and you have to prepare a lot of the food. You have a number of activities during this half hour of meal preparation that are borer activities, and a number of preparations that are not borer activities. So the halacha is, let's say out of these half hour, you have 20 minutes of things that are not borer activities, things you just simply need to do for the meal, and 10 minutes of something that are borer activities. So the borer activities, of course, you have to take the good from the bad, and you have to do with your hands, but those 10 minutes of things that you need to do for borer does not need to be during the last 10 minutes before your meal. It's enough to be throughout the entire half hour. Any time during that half hour is considered immediate use. It's considered immediately prior to the meal. So if you have a big suda and needs an hour to prepare for the meal, you are allowed to do any borer activities, taking the good from the bad, with your hands 1 hour before the meal. Now, let's say your family, the men are coming home from shul at 11:30, and you want to start the meal at 11:30. So let's say it takes an hour to prepare the meal. You could already start doing the borer activities starting at 10:30 for that meal. Now, sometimes you don't know exactly when they're coming home. Sometimes, let's say you don't, it's yontif, you don't know when they're coming home, or they're coming home different times every week. Anytime that perhaps they may come home and perhaps you may start the meal, the place can say that is enough to be considered your intended for immediate use, and we say that that is allowed. Another kula that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says is that let's say the men are going to come home at 11:30, but you don't start the meal exactly 11:30. They come home, you say good Shabbos, they sit down on the couch for a few minutes, and you do a few things. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that it's a nice thing to have the table set already and everything set, the meal ready to go when everybody comes home. It's just to have certain formalities and so socially to schmooze, welcome the guests and things like that, so that you don't have to consider in the cheshbon of immediate use. You're allowed to consider the time starting from before when the men come home, and it's considered all for immediate use. And also in regards to how much food on the table, you're allowed to do borer, the good from the bad, for setting the food on a certain platter. Let's say you don't need all the food. But it's nice, you know you're not gonna eat everything. But when you have guests, it's nice to serve a lot of food. You put a lot of food on the plate, even though you know good and well that not everything is gonna be eaten. But that's all part of it. That you serve baravchos and you wanna be able to have a lot. So you're allowed to do borer for all those types of food, even though some of it is not gonna be eaten. That's also considered, that's all part of normal, what's considered normal, and you're allowed to do borer activities even for those extra food, and even for the time for before that. Basically, what it comes down to is, you're not allowed to plan to do other activities after you finish preparing for the meal before the meal starts. Meaning, you're not allowed to do a borer activity and then say, okay, now I want to prepare the meal now. So this way I could go to shul and meet my husband. Or this way I could go ahead and daven. Or this way I could read. We spoke about what you're allowed to read on Shabbos. You read something that's permitted to read on Shabbos. So any act that you plan on doing afterwards, so then that's it. You made it that it's not for immediate use. So even if you did the good from the bad, and even if you did it with your hands, that is still not permitted because it has to be for immediate use. Again, others argue on this, and they're much more strict, the Chazon Ish, but I'm not even going to tell you about that because we go with what the Mishnah Berurah says. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashiv go along with the Mishnah Berurah. That leniency, that whole hour before, if it's a meal that takes an hour to prepare. Sometimes you have a small Shalosh Shudis, doesn't take very long to prepare Shalosh Shudis. Sometimes it only takes 5 minutes, if you're lucky, to prepare Shalosh Shudis. So then any borer act that you need to do preparing for Shalosh Shudis can only be within 5 minutes before the act. One last halacha, as far as, let's say, when you sweep the floor, which is important to keep in mind in regards to borer. Let's say you sweep the floor on Shabbos, and something fell underneath the dishwasher, underneath the stove, underneath the fridge, underneath a certain desk, and you just sweep something out, and now you have a lot of stuff on the floor. A lot of it is dirt, and then you see, oh, there's something over there that I want. There's a bottle cap of something that I need in this mixture of the dirt. This time you're sweeping from underneath the table after the meal. Mitzvah Hashem, one day we'll be able to learn the halachos of sweeping on Shabbos and the malach of Choresh. We'll get to that, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem. But let's assume for a second you're allowed to sweep the floor on Shabbos, and you sweep out from under the table, and you have a lot of dirt on the floor, and then, oh, there's a little menchie, there's a little toy that you need, or there's a little bottle cap, something that you need. So now, if that object is not so big, then that's a mixture. So the mixture of all different stuff that was on the floor, plus something that you do need. So what do? Oh, the bottle cap. Oh, there's the bottle cap, right? So you take it out. So now you just took the good from the bad. Let's just say that's okay. You took the good from the bad because you needed it. You didn't want to put that in the garbage. And you're taking it with your hands. But you have to have an immediate use from it. A lot of people don't realize it. Let's say something that's not muxus. You're allowed to pick it up. But you have to have immediate use. So immediately take the bottle cap and cover the soda. And you want to clean it off first. You're allowed to clean it off first. But you have to use it immediately. Let's say you're cleaning a dish into the garbage. So you don't move the garbage, and you put the anything you need, anything that's garbage, into the garbage, and whoops, a fork falls in the garbage. Of course, the fork is the good from the bad. Of course, you want to take out the fork because the fork is the good. I want to use it, right? But that's a mixture. If other things in the garbage are also big, and the fork is big, so then that's a mixture. It's not big enough, like chairs, like we spoke about last week. Assorted chairs is not a mixture. This is a mixture. So you take the good from the bad. Of course, you're taking the fork with your hands, but you have to have an immediate use for it. Okay, it's in the garbage, so maybe you want to clean it first. I don't know. Don't just put it away in the drawer, but put it away in the dishwasher because you just sorted from the garbage with all the garbage with this fork. You have to be careful. You have to get some type of immediate use from this fork. A person has to be careful. That is considered a mixture, and it's not only enough to take the good from the bad. You have to also get immediate use.
So wash and eat another piece of cake.
So split it, what, throw the garbage all over your floor?
Yeah, meaning like...
I would think, I can tell from you that you don't like messes.
Like start again, meaning like.
Let's say the fork already fell in the garbage.
I know, but then just break it up and sweep it again. Take it out
in the garbage can.
No, I'm saying let's just stop. It fell in the garbage can. It's a pile in the garbage can. Right. So that's true. Let's say you have that bottle cap on the floor. So you're right. You could spread it all across the floor. You know, everyone will look at you and think, what are you doing? But you spread it across the floor, then 100%. If you want to align on Moshe Feinstein, you could do that. Definitely. But as far as something that's already in the garbage, that, you know, you don't have that option, right?
Also, one other thing is that, let's say you're taking soup out for a kid, like you, I had in mind that I put it on the side for later, so that it cools off. It's not immediate, but it is within a certain time.
So I was talking to Rabbi Sachs about that last week. I went to his house, and we were talking a few things about that.
Okay,
so he said that's a big suffix.
Like
right, let's say you want to take out something out of the freezer from the mixture in the freezer, and it needs to defrost for 2 hours. So is that allowed or not? Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Aruch has a very long piece about that. I don't remember what he comes out in the Maskana, but that's a good question if that's considered for immediate use. Meaning for this, you need a half hour or whatever to cool off. I don't know, 10 minutes.
It's just the problem is that you have in mind that it's not for right now. You're putting it on the side for its coolness.
Okay, that is a good question. Is that considered for immediate use?
It's still for that meal.
If it's for that meal, that will be allowed. If it's something to defrost for a couple hours, that is a suffix. But if it's for that meal, then you know, either way, that will be allowed. Okay, let me just have the opportunity.
Can I ask you one thing that you just said before?
Very quickly, because I want to just talk about Shavuos for a few minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'll ask very, very quickly. You said that immediate use for preparing for the meal. Let's say now's my moment of quiet where I can prepare for this meal. In a half hour, the baby's going to need this.
It's not allowed. Not a lot. Your baby comes first, and when your husband comes home and then he says, "How come the meal's not ready?" No, your husband, of course. But you tell him, "Listen, I had to do Bora right before, and I knew the baby was going to wake up soon, and I couldn't do it any time earlier." And then, sure enough, the baby cried right at that point. So it's not allowed. That's not the fact that you're available is not the issue. It has to be Mia. It has to be for immediate use. If the meal takes an hour to prepare, but if she's asking, let's say it doesn't.
Yeah,
but just when it gets closer, I'm not going to be able to because it's time for the baby to be fed and things like that. The fact that you're not able to, I do not think lets you
can't
permit
you include
it.
That as part of your overall.
That's not part of your meal preparation. Okay, you're feeding the baby, but that's not considered a meal. That's not considered part of the meal preparation. Okay, let me just say a few minutes.
If it needs 2 hours to defrost, then
why is that
not considered?
Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch talks about it. Is that considered immediately or not? Quite possible it's allowed. I have to look up again what his maskana is. I have to check into that one.
You can take it out of the freezer if you don't do it in Bora. Let's say that's the only thing.
Yeah, if it's not a Bora, right.
But the things are big.
It depends how big. Exactly. The Gemara says. Hold on a second. I don't mean because this is your first question the whole day. I'm not
even
going to
answer.
It's I'm going to tell you about it afterwards. Okay. Because what I said last week was correct. I just want to explain to you why. We have the Antif of Shavuos coming up. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's a Gemara that you all know. It's a famous Gemara that a Malach went to all the nations and he asked all the nations, "Do you want the Torah?" And all the nations says, "What does it say?" So he says, "It says you can't steal." He says, "No, then we don't want it." So went to another nation, it says you can't kill. No, it says you can't kill, then we don't want it. Other Averos, it says, "Oh no, if that's the case, then we don't want it." So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says that it sounds like from the Gemara that those nations were willing to accept 612 mitzvahs. It was just that one Avera, that one mitzvah that they couldn't deal with, that they have to be able to kill, they have to be able to steal, that Avera, that mitzvah, that they couldn't deal without. But the other 612, it seems as if that they were willing to go along with that. So he says, what you see from here is that we have a lot of people that they're, a lot of the mitzvos out there, it's easy for us to accomplish, and it's easy if we don't have much of a yetzahara to go against a certain Avera. It's that one iota, one avera, one mitzvah that a person has their yetzahara for, and that they struggle, but that is our avodah in serving Hashem, because the other nations also, it seems 612, they were okay with dealing with. It was just that one thing that they had their yetzahara for that they couldn't accept, that is something that we need to work on. There's something that the Svarim talk about, what's called the Nekudas HaBechira, and many Svarim discuss it. It could be, it's a concept, a term that some of you have heard of, the Nekudas HaBechira. And, you know, like when I pass a McDonald's, and I'm sure all of you here as well, I don't really have much of a taiva, I don't have a yetzahara to go into a McDonald's. So the fact that I don't go into the McDonald's and eat the tray for food and the basar b'chalav, so there's different ways how different svarim write it. Either I don't get any schar for such a thing, or I get very little schar. But suffice it to say that it's not as special when I don't go into McDonald's, as when I hold back from doing a different avera that I would have a harder time controlling. It's that one avera that, and one part of the Torah that a person has hard to accept upon themselves and to work on, that is our avoda to work on. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that women make the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, of Lasuk B'divei Sarah, Asher Baruch Rabbanu, V'Harabna. Women make that bracha. There's a big discussion. Are they obligated to make the bracha, or does the Shulchan Aruch just mean that they're allowed to make a bracha? Not for now. But the women are able to make such a bracha. That bracha of Lasuk B'divei Sarah, the Mefarshim ask, why does it say Lasuk B'divei Sarah, to be busy with the Torah, not Lomod Torah, to learn the Torah? Why does it say Lasuk? Lasuk means like busy, and you harm yourself. So the Mefarshim tell us that not just the actual learning is Avodas Hashem and part of Birchas HaTorah, but also all the hardships going on before that. A person has a hard time coming to a shiur once a week, whether it's raining, whether it's not raining, or getting the kids out, or any hardship at all, working hard so your husband could go out and learn, or taking care of the kids so your husband could go to a shiur or to a chavrusa. Any of the hardships that are involved in learning Torah are also included in the bracha of Lasok B'divrei Sarah. And a lot of people have a misconception. They think that the Yontif of Shavuos is only for men. They're the ones who get to stay up and all night and learn Torah, and then they come home and they want to go to sleep, and the wives have to watch the kids, and they have it all easy, and they're the ones who... It's totally not true. It's a big misconception. Kabbalah HaTorah, the Yontif of Shavuos, that we have Kabbalah HaTorah, is just as much for women as it is to men. Women have a chelek in the Torah just as much as men. We have the story of Rus, that Rus was a Geiris. A Geiris, when a person becomes a Ger, a Geiris, they have to accept all 613 mitzvahs. They can't accept 612. The person remains a 100% a non-Jew if they accept only 612 of the mitzvahs. They have to accept all the mitzvahs. And it's that one iota, that one akuda that everyone, that each person, everyone knows for themselves what it is hard to work on. And we, over here, we worked on so many different malachas of Shabbos. You just think back how many malachas we learned already. We learned mochik and kaisev, we learned teichen, we learned kireya, we learned teifer, we learned seveya, we learned medida, measuring on Shabbos, we learned hachana for after Shabbos and washing dishes. We did borer, we reviewed three classes on borer, we had five classes on muksa, we had three classes on hilchos yontif. We worked so hard taking notes and asking questions and getting it down klar and coming back afterwards with more questions and teaching our husbands what they're doing wrong, and everything. That's all part of Lasek B'Divrei Sarah, the learning, the working hard. Those of who have missed shiurim, they send the MP3, which is very commendable, on maternity leave, and they send the MP3s to make sure that they hear it, or to hear it on TorahAnyTime.com afterwards, to making sure they get everything. That's all part of Lasek B'Divrei Sarah. If I may, I know it's 10 o'clock, but just one very cute story that my father says over a lot, from Shalom Shadron. Shalom Shadron was the Maggid of Yerushalayim. It was very close to my father and to my family. And in the early 1950s, he gave a shiur to boys in Eretz Yisrael. He gave a shiur to a number of boys, more modern type of boys, but he gave the shiur, to come have them come learn. And he noticed for a couple weeks that there was one boy who stopped coming. And he used to always come, and he noticed that he had stopped coming for a couple weeks. He wasn't sure, this is before, telephones, you just call him up. This is in the early 1950s. So he went to his house, he found out his address, and he went to his house, he knocked on the door, and the boy answered the door. So he said, what's going on? Where have you been? He said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to make it the past couple weeks. I'll be back in a week. I'll be back in a week, everything's okay. No, you're sure everything's okay? You're not sick? No, I'm not sick. I just was busy with something in the past couple weeks, and I'm going to be busy for another week. And he says, no, but I'm here to help. Don't be embarrassed. Tell me, maybe I could help you. He says, you're not going to understand. Fine, I'll tell you. He says, I love soccer. And there's the soccer tournament is on now, and I watch the TV, and now there's the playoffs or whatever you call it, and I live for soccer, and I have to watch it. The playoffs are going to be for another 1 week. I promise when the soccer's over, I'll come back. So Rabbi Shalom said, what's soccer? What are you talking about? What is this all about? So he says, you're not going to understand, but you have a ball, and there's a net, there's a goal, and you have to kick the ball into the net, and there's two teams, and there's people on each team, and you have to kick the ball into the net. He says, Sir Shalom said, so what's so exciting? I'm saying, you take the ball, you kick it in the net. It's a big net. I'm saying, what's so hard? What's so amazing? He says, no, you don't understand. He says, there's a goalie. That's what you call a goalie. There's somebody there blocking the net, and you have to block the net, and then you have to try and get it, even though he's blocking the net. So that's much harder. So Shalom says, okay, but the goalie's not there 24 hours a day. I guarantee it's 10 o'clock at night. He's not there now. Let's go now, and we'll kick the ball in the net quick before the goalie gets back. He says, Rav Shalom, you don't understand. He says, that's easy. If the goalie's not there, if there's no obstacle stopping you in the way, then there's nothing hard. There's nothing hard. There's nothing special about that. The whole point is when the goalie's there, when there's an obstacle in the way, and then you overcome, and still you get the ball in the net. So Rav Shalom paused. Rav Shalom knew how to play soccer. I'm sure he wasn't very good at it, but he knew exactly what it was. But he wanted the boy to say it himself. And the boy chapped. He was a smart boy. He realized what he was saying, that when it's easy, so then that's not so great. That's not the end of the world. You get schar, I'm saying, fine, maybe it's something, but it's nothing major if it's easy. The whole point is when there's an obstacle in front of you and when it's hard. It's a cute story, but it's powerful. Now you see that Rav Shalom was teaching him from him himself, that he himself realized that if there's nothing trying to stop you, no yetzahara to stop you, whether it's Lashon Hara, whether it's Tuchas Shabbos, whether whatever it is, many facets of the Torah that a person there, they have to work hard on. So as we approach Kabbalah Satayra, we need to realize that it's Shavuos is not just for cooking noodles and for cooking and for the men have the Kabbalah Satayra. Kabbalah Satayra is just as much as Man Matan Torah, say new, our Torah, it's everybody's, men, women, and children, and we should all be zeichet to have the proper Kabbalah Satayra.
Can I add one quick thing? You mentioned about the ladies.